for his own reasons, wanted was that there should be a Kinyan Danim in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik has a very, very beautiful vort in the beginning of Parashas Chayei Sarah in his Chamesh Drashas that were originally given in Yiddish and then translated into Hebrew, I think translated into English as well, in which when Avraham Avinu is purchasing the Maras HaMachpela from Bnei Ephron, there are psukim one after the other. One is that the Sada of Ephron came to Avraham l'mikne l'enei b'necheis, and the other is that v'yokam ha-sada l'Avraham l'achuzas kever me'es b'necheis. Originally it was a mikne, it was purchased legally, and then it became an achuzas kever. Originally it was done l'enei b'necheis, they were the witnesses, and then it was me'es b'necheis, it was removed from them totally and given to us. And the difference between these two psukim that are one after the other is that there's one pasuk in between. One is pasuk yud zayin, one is pasuk yud ches, one is pasuk chaf. Pasuk yud tes, what turns something from a mikne into an achuza, what turns it from le'enei b'nei ches into mi'es b'nei ches, is pasuk yud tes, achar ken kavar Avram es sara ishto, is the kvura of sara, the kinyan damim, the fact that people were moser nefesh for Eretz Yisrael. That turned it from a legal kinyan, something that had been bought, something that had been recognized by the United Nations, into an achuza, into something which is ours in a more real nitzki sense. It's not just le'enei b'neches, but it's me'es b'neches. It changes the entire nature of Eretz Yisrael. I was thinking that l'cha'ora, if we were to ask, in Parshas Vayera, Parshas Chayesara, whose damim, b'schus whose damim, where we kona Eretz Yisrael? L'chora, we would say it's b'schus the damim of Yitzchak, the Akeda. In other words, that Yitzchak was willing to be ne'akad in the Makom HaMikdash, b'schut that willingness of the Akeda, that was the Kinyan damim. What does this have to do with Sarah? Sarah died, Baruch Hashem, after a very full life, 127 years. In other words, Bliya and Hara, she died a death of old age. What does that have to do with the Kinyan Damim? So I think that that's what Rashi means at the beginning of the parasha when he asks, why would we have a smichus between the parasha of the Akeda and the parasha of the Kfura of Sarah, that when Sarah heard of the Akeda, Parcha Nafsha. Namely, that for every soldier in Eretz Yisrael who dies, there's a mother, and there's a father, and there are brothers and sisters, some of them have children as well, and there's a parcha nafsha, in words, the yisurim are not just the mesiras nefesh of the soldier. The yisurim are the mesiras nefesh of all of the relatives of the soldier. And on Yom HaZikaron, we should be remembering not only the mesiras nefesh of the particular soldier, but we should also be thinking not only about the Akedas Yitzchak that the soldiers made, but about all of the Sarah, all of the Saros who parcha nafsham, whose lives were changed, all the Almanos and the Yisomim and parents who went through a state of shkol, of losing children, and not as temporary state like by Yaakov Avinu, but a state which until Tkiyas HaMeisim is a permanent state. And that's something, that's also Eretz Yisrael Niknes B'Yisurim. It's not only the Yisurim of the Dam of those who were Niftar, who were Neherak, Al Kiddush Hashem, but all of their relatives as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking of us to become Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the task of being able to sit in the yeshiva and to learn, and via our learning to be Megin on the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. But he does expect all of us to be a Sarah. He does expect all of us to be affected in a very, very real sense by all of those relatives of ours, all of those brothers of ours, all of those parents of ours who were Neherag al Kiddush Hashem, in order that we have a Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, in order that it become an Achuza for us, not just Le'enei B'nei Ches, but Me'es B'nei Ches. So I think it's proper, it's not that far from here, if everyone would find a time on Yom Shlishi, on Dalet Iyar, on Yom HaZikaron, to walk over to Har Herzl, and just to walk among the Kfarim, and to see how Klal Yisrael appreciate and remember those individuals who would be very, very happy to be alive here in Eretz Yisrael, be very, very happy to learn in Eretz Yisrael, just to live in Eretz Yisrael, to have nachas from their children in Eretz Yisrael, to be able to give their parents nachas in Eretz Yisrael. And instead of that, you know, they're here on Har Herzl, not that far from us, Sacha Kol. It's no more than a 10-minute walk from here. And to have a sense of Hakara Satov, and to bemet be feel as a Sura Imenu, that level of Yisurim, I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does expect of all of us. It's Chazal tell us that the whole concept of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zebazeh, came about when Kol Yisrael crossed over the Yarden. I know there's a lot of Arvus in Chutz La'aretz, tremendous amount of Chesed among Jews. There's Hatzalah in Chutz La'aretz. There was a story a number of years ago, a little girl got lost and everyone went to look for her in the forest. And you know, there is a lot of sense of a unity of Klal Yisrael. But again, I'm not the one to compare. I could just say that the Arvus which is here in Eretz Yisrael is a total Arvus. It comes about in times of crisis, in times of war, when people will just leave their families and to fight for, you know, they may be very, very comfortable in Tel Aviv, but there are people in Shderot who are suffering, and they're brothers, and so one is willing to be moser nefesh for a brother. On a very, very simple level, someone wrote an article a number of years ago about how he was walking down Rehov Yafo and he lost the contact lens and began looking for it. And all of a sudden someone saw looking, and so that person began looking. And within 5 minutes, there were 20 people looking for his contact lens. He didn't know any of them. They were religious, they were secular, they were older, they were younger. But a Jew lost a contact lens. Now again, I'm not saying that it wouldn't happen also in Washington Heights, or it wouldn't happen in Teaneck. Yitzchein, it would happen if enough Jews got around to walk on the street. But but here one feels that it's natural that it happens. It's expected. That it should happen. It would be expected of everyone that if they saw a fellow Jew who needed something, that they would help out. And when people helped out in terms of giving their lives, that's something very, very, very unique and very special. And so that's Yom HaZikaron. In terms of Yom HaAtzmaut, another story of Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, which is mentioned by Rav Nevinzal, he has a sefer on Sichos on Yom Kippur. So somewhere in the sefer, I don't remember exactly where, but I saw it there. He mentioned that a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, when he was much younger, now he's Rosh Yeshiva in Abrak, when he was younger, he was very bothered that in Kol Torah, in that time of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I don't know how it is now, but in that time they didn't say Tachanun on Yom HaAtzmaut. They didn't say Hallel, but they didn't say Tachanun either on Yom HaAtzmaut. And he was very upset they didn't say Tachanun on Yom HaAtzmaut, because if you really want to call yourself a yeshiva, you should say Tachan, and you should do Kriya. You should show that this that we don't necessarily view this as a special day. And so he and a friend decided to go to Rosh Hashanah Zalman and ask him why they don't say Tachan in Kol Torah. So they showed up at Rosh Hashanah Zalman's house in Shari Chesed at 10 at night. Rosh Hashanah Zalman was a little surprised to see them. And it was the day before Yom HaAtzmaut. They wanted to know why the yeshiva is not going to say Tachanun on Yom HaAtzmaut, and they gave all their reasons why you should say Tachanun, why this yeshiva is Tachanun, and that yeshiva is Tachanun, why should they be different than any other yeshiva. So Shlomo Zalman told them, you know, the Gra, when he was 9 years old, he knew all of Shas, he knew all of Sifra and Sifri, he knew all of Torah that there was to be known, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And yet, at 9 years old, he couldn't become a Dayan in the Beis Din of Vilna. Because to become a Dayan, you have to be 40 years old. But the Gra knew everything at the age of 9. Why did he have to wait to the age of 40 to become a Dayan if he knew everything already at the age of 9? The Chora, to be a Dayan, you have to know things. He knew everything. So the answer was that, Shlomo Zalman said, is that there's something else which is involved in making decisions aside from knowledge. And that you get when you're 40 years old. And so Shlomo Zalman said, look, I have one thing above you. In other words, I'm above 40, you're below 40. So go back to the yeshiva, and tomorrow we're not saying tachanun. What did Shlomo Zalman mean? I think what he meant was that as a person grows, he tends to see things differently. The facts don't change. The halacha are halachos, and the sources are the sources, but you see things differently. There, you can have the same phenomena, and you can have different people looking at the phenomena and seeing different things, depending as to where they're coming from. Rabbi Lef, many years ago, told the famous story of Yuri Gagarin. Yuri Gagarin was the first Russian who... Mazel tov. Yuri Gagarin, who was the first Russian who went up in a Sputnik and came down and had a press conference and said that he looked out of the window of his Sputnik and he wants to tell the world that God doesn't exist. There was no throne, there was no crown, there was nothing there. There was just space, empty space. When the Americans sent their cosmonauts out into space, and they went on the trip to the moon, so Neil Armstrong and company. So at that time, there was a color TV broadcast and of what one sees from that perspective. And so first they pointed the cameras at the moon, and it was very, very special to see the moon from so close up. But then they turned the space capsule around and so that the camera was able to face the Earth. And when the camera faced the Earth, that was the first time that we on Earth had seen what we look like from outer space. When they turned the camera on Earth, all of a sudden they began to declaim in English, Hashemayim Mesaprim Kvod Keo Maase Yodav Magid Erakia Yom Yom Yobia Omer. I can't say it in English, but they said it in English. They said they read from the book of Psalms. Namely, that they said that, look, you see God. You see God all over. Hashemayim Mesaprim Kvod Keo. Now, they were in the exact same place that Yuri Gagarin was in. Maybe they were a few miles beyond where his Sputnik got up to. But basically, they're talking about seeing the same phenomena. And one person will see the phenomena and say that there's no God, and another person will see the phenomena and say that God just fills everything. That's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman, I think, had in mind when he spoke to his Talmid. And he says, look, when you're looking at Yom HaTzmaut, you can bring whatever sources you want, but I see things differently because of where I'm holding in terms of a broader perspective on life. And so... the phenomena of Yom HaAtzmaut is seen by some as an askalta de geula, is seen at the other extreme by some as ala geula v'ala tmura, as a maisa satan. It's seen by some in between as a kol de didofek, the sheet of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. And then there are those who see it as totally irrelevant to their lives. It's Olam K'minhago Noheg, it's simply a blip on a radar screen that should be ignored. Those, I think, to the best of my knowledge, are the four shitos of Jews who relate to Yom HaAtzmaut. Either they go crazy in terms of, I don't mean it negatively crazy, I mean emotionally, they get very, very involved in terms of dancing with the flag, or they get very involved in terms of burning the flag, or they get very involved in terms of glancing at the flag, or they get very involved in terms of dafka not glancing at the flag. Those are the four shitos, the four horsemen. Sefer Zechariah speaks about before Mashiach comes, there could be four horsemen. Don't know what I think to do with this, but who knows? Those are the four shitos. I really can understand three of the four shitos. I can't, for the life of me, understand the fourth shita. In other words, I can understand those who get all involved in terms of askalta de geula. I may disagree with them, but I certainly understand them. In other words, self-call-self, something very, very special happened. I can also understand those who get very involved in terms of viewing this as a maisa satan. Self-call-self, there's no ani rochev al-chamor, this isn't the way that things were supposed to be, and that it's all a bluff of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to call our bluff and see whether we're going to fall for the bait or whether we're going to remain remain pure in terms of our waiting for Mashiach to come in a different manner altogether. I can also understand Rav Soloveitchik's approach, maybe even easier because I was also brought up in America, that, you know, if there are opportunities, not necessarily an opportunity has to have a label. An opportunity could be an opportunity. It could turn into X, it could turn into Y. It depends upon what we do with the opportunity. That's the call to deed of faith, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu opens a window of opportunity and offers us the option of what we want to do with it, and we can pull it in any direction that we want. What I can't for the life of me understand is how people can ignore Yom HaAtzmut as though nothing happened. I mean, Sof Kol Sof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the time of Nevi'im, has spoken to us via history. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. Shal Avicha V'yayecha, Zechinecha V'yamrucha, Binu Shnos Dor V'dor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in order that we learn from what happens in history. There's a famous story about some German Kaiser who once asked one of his advisors for a proof of God's existence, and that individual said, "The Jews, Your Honor, or Your Majesty, or whatever you call a Kaiser, the Jews are the proof of God's existence. Look at their history. It's not a natural history. It's something that's out of a storybook. It just doesn't make sense by any natural terms." HaKadosh Baruch Hu went overboard over here to do something. Again, what he did may be a source of argument or disagreement, etc. But to make believe he didn't do something, that's my humble opinion, kfira. I don't think that any gadol ever said that. I think that what happened was that the gadolim, or many gadolim, when they were open to the various options that exist, whether this is a Askalt in the Gula or a Maisa Satan or something in between, so said, "Look, we don't know. It's too early to be able to figure it out." And so, Shevi al Tase Odif, let's wait and not do anything. But unfortunately, Talmidim misunderstand Gedolim. And when the Gedolim said Shevi al Tase temporarily, they understood Shevi al Tase means nothing happened. That's not what anyone held, to the best of my knowledge. No one held that nothing happened. Something happened. Something very, very, very real happened. And so I just would like to read to you from a letter. This is a letter that Rav Dessler wrote to his Talmidim in Panovich. Rav Dessler at the time was in Gateshead. The letter was written in the era of Rosh Chodesh, Elul Tavshin Chet, August 1948. And the Talmidim in Panovich had asked Rav Dessler to come to Panovich to be the Mashgiach there. And at the time, so he wrote to them, he would very much love to come to Panovich Mashgiach, but he's marrying a daughter, he has to go to America. In other words, I know the daughter was married, the family, the Rav and the Shul, I have a Shul in Harnof, which is next door to Rav Geltzelter's Shul, that was, his mother was Rav Dessler's daughter. So he had to go to America, but he does want to give them a message. Listen to the message that he said. Akaveh, כי תשתדרו בכל עוז להתחזק כל הישיבה יחד כאיש אחד והתחזקות רבה לראש השנה הבא ראינו לטובה. Rosh Hashanah is coming in a month. I hope that you'll be able really to pull everything together. הלא הוא יום הדין הראשון לבחון במעשינו איך קיבלנו את הניסים הגלויים אשר מראה לנו השם יתברך בלי הפסק שנה זו. Look back over the last 11 months of the year that you've been in. It's been a year of Nisim Gluyim. I was alive then, but I was Sach HaKol 1 year old. I don't remember. Rav Dessler, though, was a bit older. He was already over 40. So he could see things from the perspective that Rav Shlomo Zalman spoke about. And he spoke about the Nisim Gluyim that occurred during that year. Shonehu Rosh Hashanah Zo Mishar Hashanim She'avru. This is Rav Dessler writing to his Talmidim in Panovich. Ka'etu HaCheshbon Shahit Alut Ruchanit Shahayasalanu Miriyat Anisim Hagluyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to react. He wants us to be Makir Tov for the Nisim Gluyim that have occurred from the partition agreement that had been in the previous November to the declaration of the state to the war that wasn't over. The war, the armistice was only in 1949. This was in the middle of the war. But Kadosh Baruch Hu expects that Ka'etu HaKeshbon Shahit Alut HaRuchanit Shahitalanu Miriyat Anisim Hagluyim. Umagadohu hapachad, the prescience of Rav Dessler, magadohu hapachad, shema chas v'shalom, lo labmadnu mehem kidaboy. Maybe we're not going to appreciate these nisim gluyim as we should. הרי עלינו לבקש רחמים שלא יכלו הניסים הללו, ועלינו להרבות מאוד זכויות. Then it continues the letter. From his perspective, this was the year of the war. This is before other nisim gluim, we'll talk about in a minute. But simply the fact that for the only time, to best of my knowledge, in the Cold War, post-World War II, that the East and the West voted on the same side in a UN resolution, that Gromyko and whoever Truman had was America's representative in the UN at that time, that they both voted for the partition, the only time that they ever voted together. No one is able to explain why in the world. I mean, so the Americans wanted the Arabs, and the Russians wanted the Arabs. So why should they both vote for a partition that was so much against what the Arabs wanted? It's mamish unbelievable. And then the fact that, you know, it's the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, who was the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael? There were people like us. I mean, we weren't trained as soldiers. And fighting against 7 armies, 8 armies, 10 armies, no air force, no nothing, no just put things put together, Davidka, a little handmade mortar, etc., and able to establish a state, and able to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the power to be able to defeat the armies and to be able to have boundaries. It's something which is simply, in words in Rav Dessler's language, nisim kluyim. It's a nes goli. It was a nes goli that's recognized at that time as a nes goli. Had Rav Dessler lived for longer and had he written more letters, perhaps he would have discussed a nes goli that took place during the 10 years after the Kum HaMedina in terms of the kibbutz golios that is unprecedented in world history, let alone in Jewish history. And where did this kibbutz golios come from? From all of the Arab countries. All the Jews from all of the Arab countries. The Arabs were opposed to the setting up of the State of Israel. How in the world did they let all their Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? They wouldn't let them come now, right? How many Jews are left in Yemen now? And to get one Jew out of Yemen is considered to be termed as Pidyon Shvuyim. Tens of thousands of Jews came from Yemen on Operation Magic Carpet. Jews came from Morocco, from Iraq, from Iran. This entire kibbutz golios was a nes goli. It was coming from places that were opposed to Aliyah. It was coming from places that were opposed to establishing the state. And yet, these were the Jews who built the state. Not the 500,000 Jews or 250,000 Jews who were there at the time of Kum HaMedina, but the 5 million Jews that came from all of this kibbutz golios. After the places that were in favor of the state, no one came. No one came from America. I mean, no one meaning, you know, just, you know, pitchers like myself. But in terms of the numbers, right? So in terms of the numbers, all your taxi drivers, all of your kitchen workers, all of that which builds the Medina here, they all came from all these Arab countries. That's a nes goli. In other words, it was all predicted by the Nevi'im, and here they all came. Not only that, but Rav Amital has a very, very beautiful maimer that he gave in a sicha. When was the sicha? In 2003, it was 6 years ago. The title of the sicha was Me'eis Hashem Ha'yisazos Hi Niflas Be'einenu. The concept of Pele. Pele is something which just doesn't make sense in any logical, physical, according to the rules that we exist. That doesn't make any sense at all. It's purely a Me'eis Hashem Ha'yisazos. So leaving aside the quantity of the Aliyah, leaving aside the countries in which they came, he pointed out that this was against the Zionist dream of the time. Namely, it may have been Herzl's dream, but Herzl was a dreamer. That was his nature. Herzl had dreams. He dreamed about an Alt-Neusch state. He dreamed about this old, new, and he wrote down his dreams. But the Zionist leadership that set up the Medina, they weren't interested in Aliyah from the Arab countries. They were interested in their form of a new Jew, not the Jews who were coming with their payas, not the Jews who were coming with their religion, not the Jews who were coming with their primitivity. They wanted to set up a new Jew. And the day that the state was declared and the Aliyah began, their entire dream was bashed into nothingness. Namely, it was al apam v'al chamatam. Their poets, if you read the poets of the Zionist movement, speak about how the fact that everything is being ruined by all of these Olim coming who aren't part of us, who don't have our vision in terms of the secular state that we want to create. just to read his language, even the vision of the state's founders, men of the second Aliyah, such as Ben-Gurion and his colleagues, collapsed on the day statehood was declared, and thousands of Jewish refugees came to Israel from internment camps on Cyprus. These leaders had a different vision, a vision of a new people, a strong, powerful country, rather than a religious, exilic people. They scorned the Golas Jew, claiming he had simply walked like the sheep to the slaughter, namely that the whole concept of Aliyah changed the whole nature of what the original Aliyah Aleph, Aliyah Bet, individuals wanted to do. That's Be'ez Hashem Ha'yisazos, He Niflos Be'enenu. So we have over here, again, Nisim Gluyin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to create a state which is not a secular state, which is a state which is a Jewish state. Again, it's a work in progress, but that's all the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Nes Goli. Thirdly, the third miracle, and that's a miracle that I think that all of you are living through. Sometimes when you live through a miracle, you don't view it as a miracle because you take it for granted. And that is the concept of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soro Devar Hashem Yerushalayim. That for the first time in Jewish history, since Yemei Bayis Sheni, that Eretz Yisrael is the source and the center of Torah learning in the world. Now again, that's a nevuah. That's a nevuah which was unthinkable at any time. I mean, sof, Talmud Bavli as opposed to Talmud Yerushalmi, because post Churban, you move over to Bavel, and then you move over to Europe, and then you move over to North Africa, and then you move out to Russia, and you move even where it's, but, you know, that Eretz Yisrael should be at the center, that in every religious framework, and here I'm going to talk in the broadest sense of the world, every religious framework, and birthright is also a religious framework, because it doesn't make any sense without a religious framework. But you're talking about in other words, it may have begun with young men like yourselves who come from a more religious Zionist background, coming for the year after high school, and then 2 years after high school, and then to return to Gruz, Baruch Hashem. But it moved over also to all the Beis Yaakov and to the entire yeshiva world. You're a no one if you don't spend time learning in the Mir, if you don't come to Brisk, if you don't hear shiurim from Rav X and Rav Y. This is where it's at. This is where godless in Torah exists. You know, it's the poskim, halavai that America will be able to grow its own. But basically, the world of Psak is Eretz Yisrael. The kolim are exported from Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Tshuva movement is centered in Eretz Yisrael. It's irrelevant talking about Israeli Baalei Tshuva or American Baalei Tshuva or South American Baalei Tshuva. The center is Eish.com, is Or Sameach. That's the center. That's where it's all holding. YU Torah does a good job, but they do a good job because they all were in Eretz Yisrael. That's why that's where it all comes from. That's where they all got their brain. That's where the spark came from, and that's where it continues. Rabbi Kefet Shurim is still the most popular in YU.com. YU Torah. Namely, we're talking over here about something which is a Nes Gogli, which is Barur, that had Rav Dessler seen this, in other words, it wouldn't have been only wait until Rosh Hashanah and see what Cheshbon HaNefesh you can do, but to be able to appreciate everything that's going on. A number of years ago, Beryl Wine wrote an article, this is 2003, I stopped looking at articles, I read it 6 years ago, but I'm sure these articles continue. But he writes, on our flight here, he was flying to Eretz Yisrael, there were about 150 yeshiva students, some ready with wives and babies accompanying us for the beginning of the summer's month, watching them pile into the plane. Who would have imagined 55 years ago that Israel would become the center of world Torah study? The state was not founded on particular religious principles. Many of its founders were atheists, agnostics, and vocal opponents of the Torah way of life. There were relatively few yeshivas, with a combined student body that was far smaller than the number of students that can be found in one yeshiva, such as Panovich in Bnei Brak or Mir in Yerushalayim. Today, there are hundreds of yeshivas with tens of thousands of students. Women's seminaries abound throughout the country, even the Midrashiyat. It may well be that since the time of Talmud Bavli, there has never existed a greater concentration of Torah study and full-time Torah students in one location as now exists in Eretz Yisrael. Now, again, no one is ignoring the fact that there is another side of the coin. that for every Jew in Eretz Yisrael who is learning Mishnayos by heart, there are 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately don't know even how to say Shema, or wouldn't be able to tell you what are the Aseres Hadibros. In other words, namely, you're dealing over here with two extremes that are growing side by side. However, given all of that, there is still a sense of an achdus that has to be recognized. And so, when Yom HaAtzmaut comes, that achdus should be recognized, the nisim and niflaos should be recognized. Again, how one does it, you know, one can do it in any way that one wants. What we try to do in the yeshiva is do what we view as the minimum for the klal. Minimum for the klal, if you have to, if there is a chiyuv of hakaras hatov, so the minimum for the klal is to have a sudas hodaya, which we'll have. Rabbi Eisenstein will be our guest speaker, Mirza Hashem, on Tuesday night. And the minimum for the klal is to say pirkei halel, that we'll say after davening on Wednesday morning. Beyond that, what we try to do is give you the opportunity then to do what you do your thing. In other words, those who want to sit and learn all day are certainly welcome to sit and learn all day. Those who want to have a barbecue, can have a barbecue. Those who want to go to the kotel, go to the kotel. Those who want to go back to Har Herzl are welcome to go back to Har Herzl. Everyone should view it in a manner that would be meaningful to him. But there is one other aspect, and that is something that, in my rush to come up to shiur, I left downstairs. But you can check up on it. I don't have the pages here. And that is that, in my humble opinion, if one had to give Yom HaZikaron a title, it would be Hakaras HaTov to our brothers who are Moser Nefesh. If one has to give Yom HaAtzmaut a title, clearly, there is a very, very important aspect of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nisim Gluyim. But there's also another aspect, and that is Yom Simat Lev. It should be a day of introspection. It should be a day of reflection. The Nesiv HaShalom, the son of a Rebbe, in his introduction to Chelek Aleph, not the volumes on the Chumash, he has Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis on general topics of Hashkafa. So his introduction to Chelek Aleph, he speaks about the fact that every Jew who is born in this generation has to ask himself, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put my soul specifically in this generation? This is a generation which is different than any generation that has been previously in Jewish history. This is a generation, he speaks about the Kibbutz Golios that we spoke of. It's a generation of the Nisim Gluyim of the Hakamas HaMedina that we spoke of. He speaks about the Nisim Gluyim of the Kimitzion Tzeitzer Torah we spoke of. Everything we said, he says there as well. Except he says one more thing, that every person has to ask himself, why was I put in this generation? What did the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from me in this generation? This is something that this is a time of Niflaos Gedolos. It's a time of it's a very, very special time in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's game plan for human history, and everyone has to think in terms of what am I doing that reflects the fact that I am aware that I was born in a unique generation. Okay? If I can ask you, Yosef, just, I feel a bit, you know, on my desk, there's just a folder, a plastic. I'd just like to read the section from the Nesiv HaShalom. It's just, there are all sorts of pages there in my funny handwriting. It should be right in front where I sit, right in front where I sit. So if you can just bring it up, I'd appreciate it.
Yes?
I want to
say one thing, 1 minute. I always hit checker in here. I had to go to the early morning shiur by the gun. And it's not for the overhead. I'm hit checker in. No one wants to stop for it. A man stops. Obviously, a chilomi. No kippah, no mat, no kippah. But the conversation we had, and I always spoke a lot, you know, he knows nothing. Nothing going on. So I told him where I'm going. So he, where are you going? He's going the other way. I said, okay, so drop me off and I'll get on. I said, no, I'm taking you to the door.
Yeah.
I came home, I told my wife, I can't believe. And I said to him, I'm going to a shiur, and I want you to know that you are the chelek in the learning.
You know the right thing to say in the right time, Rabbi Black. I wish I had your power of knowing what to say, when to say.
I said that, I told. I told my whole family this, so I sent out an email. I couldn't believe that man what he did.
Just to filibuster while Yossi's downstairs, in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam speaks about the reason for Chanukah. And the Rambam speaks about the fact that Hitzilu v'garvu b'nei chashmoni ha-kohanim ha-gedolim v'hoshiu Yisrael mi-adam v'avinu melech min ha-kohanim v'chazra malchus Yisrael yeser al-matayim shana ad churban ha-sheni. Ad churban ha-sheni. Now, anyone who knows the history of Bayit Sheni knows that that is one of the, thank you, that is one of the most difficult periods in terms of Malchus. There you have Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, you have the kings that brought the Romans into Eretz Israel, you have Yanai HaMelech who killed the Chachamim. I'm not talking about Hordus himself, you know, but we're talking about a very, very black period, and yet the Rambam says that given all of that, but there was Chazra Malchus Yisrael Matayim Shana, and for that Chazal felt a need of Halav V'Hodah for generations. Here, sorry. I'm quoting to you from the Siva Shalom. Hine, rak dor echad chalaf me'az v'anu ro'im kvar baruch Hashem, and with one generation after the Holocaust, et gishmei ha-bracha be'echalei ha-torah ha-yeshivot u'merkazei ha-olam ha-chasidut. Ba'ofen mufla kol kach she'i efshar haya letayer zot mikodin. No one could have predicted it. Heikin lan HaKadosh Baruch Hu dor de'a ha-shoked al torato ve'avodato ba'ofen she'lo haya kedugmato b'dorot ha-achronim. In terms of quantity, in terms of number of people learning, this is beyond Vilna and beyond Kletz. Olam Torah v'chassidut gadal v'itpateach v'ofen na'ala b'yoser. Ha'ola al kulana, on top of everything, shekom mechodash shevet Levi b'Yisrael. There was never a shevet Levi of kolalim to the extent that it exists currently, as the Rambam writes. Lama lo zocha Levi b'nachas Eretz Yisrael, God's army, Shenemar, even without the reading on the kippah, Shenemar Barech Hashem Chelo, Velo Shevet Levi Bilvad El Kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Bo'ei Olam, Asher Nodva Rucho Oso V'Hevino Midat Mada'o, or Midato it should be, La'amod Lifnei Hashem L'Shorso Ula Avdo V'Deyat Hashem, Harezen Nitkadish Kodesh Kodashim, ויהי השם חלקו ונחלסו ליולם. אלפי אברכים בזמננו בעלי משפחות מקדישים חייהם לתורה ובדת השם. Do you know how large the kolol was in the first kolol of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Talmidim, Rav Naftali Amsterdam, and Baal Koch Ve'or? In other words, smaller than the Grus kolol. That's what was in Europe. ולעמוד לפני השם לשרסו מה שלא היה כדוגמתו בדרות הקודמים. Then he continues. Harei lo'or ze, mutelet aleinu chovat hitbonenut gedola u'ma'amika al doreinu tkufasenu. We have to think about our generation. It's a unique generation. Al yudenu, tafkidenu, v'chovatenu, v'olamenu, bedor mufla haze. Me'eis Hashem ha'yisazos, hi nifla de'enenu. Bedor mufla haze, we're living in wondrous times. And we have to think about what we're doing in the world during these wondrous times. Then it concludes, "She'im calls a dorish mitanu harbei ma'od, anu chayim b'dor gadol ma'od, aleinu la'amod al godel chavasenu yudenu tafkidenu b'olamenu b'dor ze, shelo haya shelo niye chas v'shalom." As Rav Dessler pointed out, "Mevaz bezin matanasa shel melech." The king is giving us a gift. We shouldn't waste the gift. Ela lenatzel et asher nitan lanu. And then he concludes, hador hazeh korei otanu midulot. That we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects great things of us. Because he gave us a setting, which is great. And so he expects from us, hador korei otanu midulot. Okay, that's what I think one should think about on Yom HaAtzmaut. That's it. Okay, we'd like to give shiur. Yes.